Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I'm Joe Salzona, host here at WGBB. My good friend Dave has asked me to sit in for this interview because I'm a little more experienced when it comes to politics. This is a special edition dedicated to celebrating the life of Martin Luther King. It is therefore with some excitement that I present to you our next guest. Her name is Cleola Bevers, and if you've never heard of her, well, that's because she has been rather behind the scenes. She was a member of CORE for about 2 decades and, until recently, served as a technical advisor to the news division of Black Entertainment Television. Years ago, she was a secretary in a very liberal New York law office in the early 1960s, one that would take pro bono cases, especially involving civil rights. Well, this brought her down to Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, brought her into the movement, and also into the circle of people behind it, including Martin Luther King. She started as an admirer, later on became his friend, and ultimately, well, his favorite mistress. That's according to her book, at least, Marty and Me, published by Cush City Books, 1997. We have Miss Bevers live in studio. It's an exclusive interview on her book tour you won't hear anywhere else but right here on WGBB. Miss Bevers, welcome to Dave's Gone By. So how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fine. My elbow's hurt and my goiter's acting up, but why complain? I'm 72 years old and I don't feel a day over 60.
Well, that's a wonderful attitude.
Every day I have 2 cigarettes, 2 donuts, 2 shots of rum, and 2 orgasms.
Wait a minute, 2 what?
Orgasms. That's when you feel good all over, till you look at the piece of crap lying next to you, then you feel lousy all over again. Men's.
Well, I guess the most pressing question for most of our listeners would be, where did you first run into Dr. King, and how did it all come about?
I first met Martin Luther King when he was in Selma.
Selma, Alabama?
No, Selma Johnson. She was a bookkeeper at Ebenezer Church, and there was what you would call an item. I walked in on him one day. They called it a strategy session for a march, but the only thing Dave was marching toward that day was an orgasm.
But wasn't he married to Coretta at that point?
Well, of course. But you know how them men's are. They angels in the pulpit and devils in the bedroom. But I ain't pointing no fingers. I was married, too.
Really? Now, what was your husband?
Oh, he was a good man. He died about 5 years ago. That's why I could write the book.
Now, he never knew you and Dr. King.
Well, he knew I worked for Dr. King. He knew we was friends. But he didn't know that I'd been to the mountaintop, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that's been a very controversial point. When stories of King's infidelity began to surface, any racist looking to run him down finally had something to point at. You know, he was an adulterer. He may have been a good speaker, but what kind of example was he setting morally?
Orally? Oh, he was wonderful orally. He had this great trick he used to do with his mustache.
No, Miss Beavers. Morally, as in righteousness.
Ooh, well, he was a righteous man. What he said, he believed, he believed. And he put himself in harm's way time and time again.
Now, I know he was stabbed once and then assaulted and then finally assassinated by James Earl Ray, as we all know. Were you ever there for any of the violence he had to endure?
Well, there was one time Edna O'Malley attacked him with a greasy spatula.
Edna O'Malley, another mistress?
Oh, yes. White girl, too.
Wow.
He felt guilty about that, but he said, if I gotta start sleeping with the enemy, I might as well get me one with long legs and big bazongas.
Now, with all due respect, Miss Bevers, did Martin Luther King really say bazongas?
No, he said something else, but I cleaned it up for the radio.
Well, thank you, but why did she, Edna O'Malley, why did she attack him with a spatula?
Because she couldn't find the rolling pin, that's why.
No, I mean, what was she angry about?
Oh, she was jealous. He liked the white women's, but he was always saying how he preferred the black princesses. We got more meat on us. We move better. We got style. We got some ancient juju that turned him on.
And this woman felt threatened by that?
Oh, yeah. Plus, he gave her the hype.
Wait a second. Martin Luther King had herpes?
Oh, yeah. We all did. Weren't no big deal. It was the 60s. Let me tell you. Back then, the NAACP had more crabs than a Baltimore fish fry.
Now, were you envious of Dr. King's relationships with other women, including his wife, Coretta Scott King? You have to excuse me here, ma'am.
Okay.
Or was he just part of what comes with, you know, dating a powerful man?
I knew I could never have this man all to myself. Remember, I was married also. So we made the best of the times we had. If we was in a restaurant, we'd play footsie under the table. If we was in some governor's office, we'd sneak off to the closet and feed each other up. I remember Marty once telling me he wanted us to wait until midnight, strip naked, and dive into the reflecting pool at the Washington Monument, give President Johnson a free show.
He didn't say that.
Oh, yes. I even said, next time you talk to the president, ask if he wants to do a threesome.
Whoa, you? Martin Luther King and Lyndon Johnson?
Well, it never happened. Marty chickened out. But I tell you, it would have been the best thing for this country. That president be so uptight about the war, he just needed to loosen up. If we'd have done 69 and 69, we'd have been out of Vietnam by 70.
Well, with all due respect, I don't think...
I told Marty, I said, just let me at Lyndon Johnson. I put the BJ back in LBJ.
All right. It sounds like you had a pretty close physical relationship with Dr. King. Was that all it was about?
Well, no. We spent most of our time planning boycotts, setting up interviews, writing speeches.
Did you ever help him with that? The famous I Have a Dream speech, or the one he delivered in Memphis the day before he was assassinated?
Well, no, not directly. But I think I inspire him. For example, I once bought him a ring to wear, just a little token for when we was together. And when we was apart, he'd remember the ring and think of me. We called it the Freedom Ring.
Oh, I get it. That whole finale of the I Have a Dream speech, Let Freedom Ring.
Well, I'm not saying it was so direct, but he was wearing it when he said it.
Now, wait a minute. I've seen footage of that speech, and the only ring on his hands was the wedding band of Coretta.
Well, he wasn't wearing it on his hands. Wasn't that kind of ring. You see, it fits over the head.
All right. Now, if we can step away from your personal relationship with him for a moment into a large social view, I think it's universally accepted now that Martin Luther King was a great spiritual leader. But there are those who say his words of peace wouldn't have carried much weight without the threat of force to back it up, be it Malcolm X or the Black Panthers. Do you think that King's influence has been overemphasized because the media wants its heroes to be peaceful and not rock the boat? Or is it impossible to overestimate what he's meant to the lives of millions of people, black and white, in America?
A man like that comes along once in everybody's lifetime. When you desire black peace, you think of Martin. And I'm proud to say that when Martin desired a black peace, he thought of me.
Well, certainly a new and intimate perspective on this great man. Cleola Bever's book, Marty and Me, now in paperback.
So you can read it at the beach. Kind of how Cleola got her groove back.
Oh, Cleola Bevis, thank you so much for being our guest tonight and for shedding new light and, I guess, old clothing on Dr. King.
You're very welcome. Nighty night.